This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
You are listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM, 91.9 FM Hood River in the Gorge, and our new frequency 104.3 in Philomath and Corvallis. 104.3 Philomath Corvallis. The time is 9:59, coming up on 10 o'clock straight up right now. Coming up next, Air Cascadia with your host, Chris Andre. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints. And at 11, The Dirtbag with your host, Glenn Andreessen.
Pride Northwest Incorporated is proud to announce its 2013 official Pride schedule of events for June 9th through 16th. We have a full week of exciting happenings designed to showcase and celebrate the LGBTQ community, including a Star Trek theme party, a special film screening, a comedy showcase, and a Tony Award-winning musical. The week will conclude with the 43rd Annual Portland Pride Waterfront Festival and Parade, June 15th and 16th at Tom McCall Park. More information about the Portland Pride Festival and Parade can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events. Wednesdays in Portland are a little more festive these days, thanks to Creative Collaborations and Hump Day PDX. Hump Day PDX is a street festival in Southeast Portland, featuring the live music and art exhibits of creative entrepreneurs who are living on the streets. There are also family activities to enjoy, food, and a beer garden, all organized by Creative Collaborations in support of struggling artists and in an effort to stimulate the local neighborhood economy as well. Hump Day PDX is June 12th from 6 to 10 p.m. and every second Wednesday of the month thereafter at Southeast 9th and Belmont in Portland. More information about this KBOO-sponsored event may be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, June 12, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We are very fortunate today to welcome Michael Ratner of the Center for Constitutional Rights to the show to talk, of course, about Edward Snowden and the implications of what he revealed, as well as, of course, the reasons why and why more and more people are becoming emboldened to step forward despite the failure of our justice system to protect whistleblowers. It nonetheless takes a great deal of courage. It's in fact what we're talking about here with these revelations is the very privatization of privacy. Police misconduct in Eugene and police on steroids here in Portland, to return us to Cascadia. And more from the fringes of environmental activism, we've got a story coming again coming out of the Eugene area downstate. The lockdown ladies in the news. And first, this from the National Weather Service before we get into our first interview. After a drizzly morning, building up to showers lightly in the afternoon, we've got highs around 65 for today, mild winds 5 to 10. And overnight, it's 50-50 on the rain front, lows around 50. And the same thing in the morning, 50-50 as far as the showers go, highs 60 to 65, with rainy overnight at times, lows around 50, and southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. The alternative forecast is basically the same. We've got a waxing crescent leaf moon in Cancer, 3 days old. The rest of it we'll leave off because we want to get straight to Michael Ratner and talk more about the unfolding story of Edward Snowden. And what I'm waiting for is the next shoe to drop. Who else is going to be in a position to provide information of this sort that that is really the only source of our freedom? Good morning, Michael, and thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, and We love your radio station out here. We are on a lot, and we hear a lot about it, so I'm glad to be here.
The community in the KBOO community radio really does extend across the world. We have listeners online all over the place in some very unexpected places, which we love. And Edward Snowden, of course, we don't know, he may still be in Hong Kong. I personally think it's very unlikely. Russia's offered him asylum. Putin has, which is, that's funny. However, the revelations are out there now, and the mainstream media reassures us that this is just metadata. So, the NSA reassures us through the mainstream media that it's metadata, therefore not dangerous. I would argue that's the worst kind. And this, of course, is why not a private contractor doing this? We've been corporatized in every other way. I wonder if you would speak a little bit about why metadata is so dangerous.
I mean, first of all, as you said, I mean, the fact that Ed Snowden came out is remarkable to me. I mean, here they're hitting Bradley Manning, Julian Assange, Jeremy Hammond, others with sledgehammers for whistleblowing, and yet there's still young people who have the courage to do this, and it's remarkable. And I think one thing it illustrates, and then I'll get to the metadata point, one thing it illustrates is the government bureaucracy and corporations have these massive surveillance and data machines that the only people who can run those are young people. And when they start bringing in young people, they start bringing in people who may have some politics to them or some conscience. And that's what you're starting to see. So I think he won't be the last, but it is extraordinary in light of the fact that the government is sledgehammering others. The metadata is completely scary. This phone call that I'm having with you, every phone call we have, every one of us in the United States, is tracked both as to where we're calling from, who we're calling to, what our physical location is, what cell phone we're using, et cetera. And they, of course, as everybody knows, Obama was disingenuous when he said, well, it doesn't include your names. Well, having your phone number is your name. You and I can easily run a reverse phone number thing on a computer. There's nothing to it. So they have everything. Do I like them having everything? No. Think about the next time I might plan a demonstration, whether it's in Washington Square or whatever square you have in Portland, and I call my 30 friends. They immediately know every single person who's going to be at that demonstration. They can know about that demonstration, therefore, and they can begin to disrupt it, get involved with people, etc. If I'm ill in some way and I have to make calls to doctors, they know that I'm calling doctors. There's a million other things that they obviously know by metadata. They know everything about our lives, really. And, of course, when you combine it with the fact that my subway turnstile card will give them my location, where I'm going on the subway, and every credit card receipt, that it's basically a massive surveillance state. Everything we do now is known. Yes, we all suspected it, and some of us said things like this, but none of us really saw that confirmed until Ed Snowden did this. And it's a remarkable thing that's happened.
The thing too that is a great concern is when you have that much data, of course, accidents do happen. Innocent people can be linked, because of course it's not the data itself that's terrifying; it's the links to other people, places, names that are confused with people on, for example, on a terrorism watch list. Muslims are constantly stopped at the border and questioned, and very often taken to be someone who is on a watch list. It makes one could certainly make the case that this makes the nation, and indeed any nation now in the world, this is a global thing, far, far less secure than ever before, in a world that is extremely insecure. Seems like the meta story here is that the corporatization of our identities. Would you speak a bit about that? Now, this is a contractor,
really,
not the government doing it. The contractors, right?
That's what's amazing when you look at it. It's this close connection between a government that hires these huge contractors like Booz Allen, that then they themselves have all this material and all this storage material, and they have access to it. As Ed Snowden said, which was incredible, he, just as a contract employee, or a contractor, not even a high-level one, I mean, one that worked with systems, he could wiretap, as he said. What he means by that is not only my phone, but my email, of every single email he had an address for, including, he said, if he had the email of the President of the United States, he could do that. And this is not a government. This is a corporate. It's bad enough in both cases. It's outrageous in both cases. And people should be up in arms. And the question is, what's really going on here? And in some level, in some way, it's what, you know, I represent Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. And in some way, what's going on here is we have this incredible internet that's a democratic internet. We can communicate with all people all over the world. We can, you know, get demonstrations planned, politics. We can change the world. And that's a lateral control. And now what's happening is corporations and government want to control it vertically and know everything we're doing. So they're taking one of the greatest democratizing tools and they're making it into a tool of tyranny, which is what I think Snowden was really upset about it, if you look at his statement.
And do you know if we've heard anything more The Guardian says that there's more is going to come out. Do we have any notion of when that might happen?
I don't know when. I know that, you know, Greenwald was in Hong Kong along with Laura Poitras, the filmmaker. He said there were more documents and that he was going to produce more documents. So I'm we're all waiting every day for the revelations. It's quite remarkable. One interesting thing I want to mention about this, there has been actually more support for Ed Snowden than there was for Bradley Manning. And I'm trying to look at why that is. For example, there's an editorial in the New York Times today that says, this isn't treason by Snowden. And it contrasts him a little bit with Bradley Manning, saying Manning was less careful about what he was doing, and this brought out a program, and Manning, you know, gave lots of these documents. And I don't like seeing that, because what I see here is some incredible truth tellers that shouldn't be compared in that way. One of them is giving us this massive surveillance program. The other one was telling us about war crimes all over the world that the U.S. is committing. And it worries me when I think that, well, Americans are really concerned by our own self being surveilled, which they should be. I mean, it's terrible what we have here. But they seem less concerned, at least some of the media does, with the war crimes that Bradley Manning exposed. And I wouldn't want to play off one against another, but I think that both are really crucial. And I'm afraid that Americans have more trouble hearing the message that their own country is killing people all over the world, and they worry more about themselves being surveilled. So that is a caution when I look at both these cases.
Yeah, one final question for you, if you have just another moment. Clearly, this is got the government and governments around the world on the back foot here. We've just seen the Japanese back away from genetically modified wheat from no less than our own great state of Oregon. Now we have this coming out, and of course the American economy is beginning to give some people, of course, the Chinese, the shakes. Well, the Chinese love it, I suppose. So the government is indeed on the back foot. And I shudder to think what the response will be, because it likely will be far beyond simply rounding up and prosecuting individuals. Yet more and more people are coming forward and taking this very courageous step. It does seem to change the whole playing field. Julian Assange is still in the Ecuadorian embassy. What steps is the government right now taking to he seems to be the linchpin in all of this, because he set it off. Where does he stand right now in this whole scenario?
I mean, all these cases are really occasions of the U.S. hitting whistleblowers with sledgehammers. Julian is still in the embassy on June 19th. He'll have been there for a year. The United States has had a grand jury investigation for at least 3 years. They say they're continuing to investigate Julian Assange and WikiLeaks. I, having looked into it and representing him, think there's a strong likelihood that there's already an indictment against him, and that if he goes to Sweden, it's going to be a one-way ticket to some underground prison in the United States. So he's in a very dire situation in that sense. Obviously, Ed Snowden, we don't know where he is, but he revealed top secret documents. And while there is some support for what he did because people are so outraged at this massive surveillance program. The U.S. is going to want to put him in jail for a very long time. Bradley Manning is standing trial as we speak, facing perhaps a life imprisonment. Jeremy Hammond, who was part of the Stratfor leaks, hacking of a private intelligence company, a corporation, he was forced to plead guilty to 10 years. So they are trying to to build a dike or a dam to stop this flow of truth-telling. But as you and I have been discussing, they don't seem to be succeeding, and I think it's two reasons. I think one is because the situation is so bad that people of conscience see it and they want to speak to it. And secondly, as I said, and as Julian said, because there's younger people getting involved in this, and you know they're not the government bureaucrats. They're people who have this technical skills that they need to hire, and they can't necessarily check their politics at the door.
Thank you so much for that, Michael. We're delighted to have you back on the KBOO airwaves today. We've been speaking with, of course...
Thank you.
Thank you so much. We've been speaking with Michael Ratner for the Center for Constitutional Rights. That's about it. We're out of time. There are other stories out there. The lockdown ladies, back in the news down around Eugene. We've got... of course, the spectacle of police in Eugene, again, dragged into court. We've got police and steroids in Portland, farther afield, Gezi Square in Istanbul is quiet for now, but protesters aren't moving. They are standing strong. And in Palestine, there is what is described as finally real proof that the Nakba occurred, despite the denial. This has been Air Cascadia for Wednesday, June 12th, 2013. Kurt Lau engineered the show today. Thanks, Kurt. Kathleen Stevenson is the KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.